be assured about this and know this. In all things, God is at work. In all things. Just think for a moment of all the different strands that make up your life, all the different relationships you have with people, with events, with circumstances. How many different aspects there are to your life, even in a single day. And then think how much of your life is influenced by events entirely outside of your control. How wise God must be to make this promise. And how powerful God must be to fulfill it. That he can say about your life, in all things, God is at work. And willing to do his good purpose. In all things. Inside one of those telephone junction boxes out on the roadside. Hundreds and hundreds of multicolored wires, a huge box of psychedelic spaghetti, so it looks like. And to us, it would be a completely meaningless tangle. Telephone engineer makes sense of it all. Each wire has its own special significance. Each wire its own place in the whole conglomeration. Each wire vital. To use a landline telephone to benefit from it, we don't need to understand how the message gets from one place to another, and we don't have to effectively untangle the mess of wires through which it passes. Except by faith that when we pick up the telephone, we dial, and then we don't dial it anymore, we digitize it or whatever. And then through the millions of interconnecting wires, we speak to someone at the other end. I know it's done through glass fibers now, but it used to be done through solid wire, and there was an actual wire going from your home. Someone in Australia, someone in America, there's an actual wire going all the way. And your phone message went down through that wire, it goes by satellite now, it goes all around the world now before it gets to the proper person. It's the same with God's providence, God in his infinite wisdom has a purpose for every event. Some have greater significance than others. They are all meaningful to his goal and purpose in your life. And maybe one day we will understand, maybe in the coming ages, God will invite us to see the role and significance of every wire in his plan. But that is not our present task, and we are not to spend our lives trying to unravel what God has hidden away. Endless questions of why will only injure your soul. And we are to guard our hearts against that proud belief that God owes us an explanation. We don't have to like God's providence. I learned that from LDI over in Morocco. We don't have to pretend to ourselves that we are finding this or that trial pleasant. The paths the Lord has chosen for us sometimes are difficult and challenge every fibre of our being and every ounce of our faith. Paul said at one point in his life's work, he said he felt the sentence of death and despaired even of life. But he says, this happened that we might not rely on ourselves, but on the God who raises the dead. To bring it into my life. And in the end, it comes down to this, my friends. Do you trust God with your life? That's what it comes down to. That's the bottom line. Do you trust God with your life? Have you committed your life into his hands? really made that prayer before him, that you have given your life to him. Will you trust him to make sense of all the nonsense? Joseph did. In all this dark nightmare, Joseph trusted God. And things would get even more confusing for him. Everything Joseph was entrusted with prospered. And Potiphar noticed that. And Joseph became his personal attendant. And everything continued to prosper. And Potiphar made him his general manager. And everything continued to prosper again. And Potiphar made him his chief executive, CEO. He gave Joseph total authority to run his whole house, his business affairs, everything he owned, gave it to Joseph, because whatever he gave to Joseph prospered. He didn't think about anything except the food on his table. And just when Joseph thinks that things are now going swimmingly well, disaster strikes again, and he's thrown back to square one. Potiphar's wife. Potiphar's wife makes sexual advances on him again and again. But he refused her advances, and as a result, incurred her vengeance. She told her husband that Joseph had assaulted her, and there in her hand was a damning evidence, his coat, which he left behind and ran out of her presence, his only garment that he wore. And suddenly he's back where he started. He's back in prison. He's in a dungeon, just like the hole that his brothers have thrown him into. He's back there again. Disaster strikes again. Lightning strikes twice. What a kick in the teeth. All of the years of trying his best, we don't know how long that period was in Potiphar's house. But all those years, we presume, seeking to be a good servant, seeking to gain the converts of his master, all that seems wasted, all coming to nothing. Would he ask himself, where is God in all this? Why has this happened to me? What have I done to incur the wrath of my brothers and now the wrath of my master? What thoughts must have gone through his mind in those long months and years in prison, condemned with thieves and robbers, suffering for a crime he never committed, suffering because he was committed to maintaining his integrity. But God had not deserted him. Prison warder put him in charge of all the prisoners, and then in charge of everything that happened in the prison. And then two people with probably a similar experience to Joseph found themselves incarcerated in prison. The chief cupbearer and the chief baker. Perhaps they spilt the wine. Perhaps they overcooked the bread. Whatever. Their lives were going to be instrumental in God's great plan. But perhaps they would never know it. Then there came a ray of hope. His fellow prisoners started having dreams, which came with such a force and a power that they knew they had a meaning. But what was the meaning? Joseph tells them what their dreams mean. One is exalted and returns to the palace. The other is going to be hanged. Joseph asks the cupbearer, when he is exalted back to Pharaoh's palace, to remember him, to plead his case before Pharaoh. But look how the can imagine. That third day, the cupbearer going back to the palace and goes and thinking, well, maybe tomorrow he'll speak to Pharaoh. Tomorrow I'll come out. And the next day, and the next day, and it just doesn't happen. Goodbye. He's believed to be dead by Jacob, his father. He's forgotten by his brothers. He's forgotten by Potiphar and his wife. He's unknown to Pharaoh. He's alone. He's without a friend in the world, with no one to help him, and without any hope of deliverance. He's forgotten. These are dark days for Joseph. These are dark days. You think you've been going through dark days? I tell you, these are dark days. And there are all the pieces of his life, like a big jigsaw, scattered on the floor. A hopeless mess. One tragedy after another. His hopes dashed. Time and time again. Where is the justice of it all? Why is this happening to me? Everyone has forgotten. Except the Lord. God remembered Joseph. And God was preparing Joseph. He was being tested and he was being trained for a great work. And it was all now about to make sense. When God intends to build high, he digs deep and he lays deep foundations. I want to look tonight at how God tested and trained Joseph and how Joseph responded. So I want to go through those events again and just look at it from a different perspective. First of all, the test of humble submission. What we read here in these two chapters, Genesis 39 and 40, it's not just a story. This is a real man's life. He's a young man. He's 17, 18, 19 years of age now. And for 13 years, Joseph's life, from that time he was put down that system, for 13 years, Joseph's life is tragic, beset with trials and sorrows and difficulties and temptations, with no explanation, no answers. A life that involves real pain, and I'm sure of doubts and fears. But throughout that time, he walked humbly with God. He didn't get angry with God. He didn't become bitter. Malachi 6:8 says, what does the Lord require of you, O man, but to act justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God? This is God's will for you. This is his will for you. Maybe there are difficult events and circumstances in your life right now that are very confusing to you, and you can't make sense of them, and you feel terribly alone and fearful and trapped as though you were in a prison. My Christian brother, sister, your loving Heavenly Father knows, and if you will trust in him, he will bring it to a good conclusion. That isn't Christian piety. That is his promise. That is the promise of the God who reveals himself in the Bible. He will make all the strands that make up your life come together and achieve a good end. Walk humbly before him. Walk humbly before him. On that great day when you enter his presence and he shows you the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to you in Christ Jesus, he will unfold to you the mystery of his purpose. your attitude towards people, attitude towards your life. And you will see how he was ministering to others through you as well. How he was preparing you for future usefulness. How he was training you. How he was strengthening the sinews of your faith. And he was building faith in you. No soldier goes out to war from writing his name down on the application form. He goes into training. He has to be trained. And if we are to serve God, we have to be trained. We don't know what he's going to call us to. But our life is about being trained for his purpose. On that day you will see how perfect was his sovereign will towards you, and you will adore him for his goodness, and you will say Jesus did all things well. You will say that Jesus did all things well. So we say with the Apostle Paul, our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. What is seen is temporary. What is unseen is eternal. That is the Christian's perspective. It is not the way the world thinks. It's not the way you were brought up. It is not the way the young believer thinks. But it is the way that every believer, every Christian is to think. Eternity will reveal all. God is his own interpreter, and he will make it plain, and he will make sense of all that we call nonsense. And we shall profoundly regret every time that we complained and we found fault and we doubted God's love or care of us. Or that he had forgotten us. You know what phrase is repeated 6 times in chapter 39? Where Joseph was falsely accused and thrown to prison. You know what phrase is repeated over and over again? The Lord was with Joseph. Hard to believe, isn't it? From the events. That's what scripture says. The Lord was with Joseph. Circumstances wouldn't tell you that. The health, wealth, and prosperity gospel of modern evangelicalism wouldn't tell you that. But this is what the Lord says to all his children. Never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you. So it may say with confidence, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? He says to you, fear not when you pass through the waters. I will be with you.